secretary to the Cheerful Workers Guild. Could I put you on tape and take my notes off of that so it'll be accurate?
Sure.
All right, this is Dolly Dillon.
That's right.
And you are secretary of the Cheerful Workers. Tell me about that.
Well, let's see. I moved here in the spring of 1940 to attend high school here. And, of course, Emmanuel, being the only church, was where I also went to church. And I was in the youth group. And then I went to this women's group with my mother and the other people that lived here. It was a group primarily for Indian women's fellowship, but it was not limited to them. And we had some lovely women in it that worked very, very hard. And we always enjoyed working with Father Pipes, or Reverend Mr. Pipes, we didn't call him Father. And, well, I remember that when they remodeled the front of the church and they put in that new rear doss up there, the wooden panels and everything, we put in the tone openings for the organ. Now, nothing we ever did was visible, including them. But I think I always, whenever I look up there, I always think, oh gosh, we're responsible for the tone openings, whatever those were.
Uh-huh.
And, but you know, we were just one of the guilds that worked along with everybody else.
And was the guild already operating when you arrived?
Oh, yes. It had started. It had started in the late 20s or 30s. Dolly Dillon calling back.
Hi, Dolly Dillon.
Okay, now I was telling you that this group of women, yeah, it was primarily a group of women of Indian heritage who, a good many of them were from the Rosebud Reservation, but not all of them. And originally, there was a similar church group down at Oak Creek, South Dakota, on the Rosebud Reservation, who were named the Cheerful Workers Guild.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just sort of brought their name with them, and, you know, and continued their activities up here. And we did all the usual things. We used to clean the yard, and we used to wash windows. And we did lots of work like that. But we also served meals, and we took part in the bazaars, and we just we had cottage services during Lent whenever. But it was basically to have the Indian women have some source of companionship and a comradeship together.
Mm-hmm.
And
also to get demeanor mixed with the rest of society.
With the rest of the congregation, yeah. And,
was it successful in that?
Oh, yes, yes. We never had any. I never felt any discrimination or anything else.
Were you of Indian
church? Oh, yes, uh-huh. While we were there, you know. And I grew up with the youth group there. Then I went to high school. I went 3 years to high school. Graduated, then just continued on with the work in the guild. Mrs. Youngquist was a member for years. You remember? Oh, you didn't know Mrs. Youngquist.
No.
She was a most delightful lady.
Tell me about her.
And, well, she and her husband had been on the Rosebud Reservation in the early days. He was a banker there. And
Banker.
B-A-N-K. And she worked. She was sort of a social, South-style social worker. She always worked with the Indian women on the reservation in the church work. And then when she moved up here, when they moved up here, well then she just continued her association with them, and she just
in our church.
Uh huh. Uh-huh, through your church, yeah, through the Emmanuel Church.
About what time period are we talking about here?
Say she probably came, she must have come here in the 30s or early 30s or something.
What person was she at that time?
I'd have to look up this material. I've got some. Do I have information on her? Just recently, I went through tons of material on death notices, and I threw everything. All I did was to write the names and the date of birth, date of death, and I threw everything else out. We were getting buried in paper around here, and I decided to get rid of everything. Let me see. Who was some of the other? Oh, are you going to have any pictures?
All we can get.
All you can get?
Yep.
Because we've got a beautiful picture of the Winona, not Winona Club, the Cheerful Workers in about, must have been in the 40s. And, okay, Mrs. Rena McGann has it. She said she would be glad to let you use it or let you have it.
Would you contact her?
Oh, sure. Uh-huh.
Right.
And mail it to you where?
Bring it to the church.
Oh, she can bring it, because she goes down there.
Yeah, I'll leave it at the church office, label it for what it is.
Okay.
If you can identify any of the bodies, so much the better.
Oh, we'll have them all identified.
Good.
There were people like Nellie Menard in it, and Dorothy Judson, and can't think of, what's her name? Has she been around lately? Gertrude Hornberg-Wilhite?
She's in Arizona. I've been in correspondence with her. She has written me several very helpful letters.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Gertrude was the person that instigated the this history that we did in 1958.
Oh, good, because I'm glad to have that, because it has no credit.
Oh, she never wanted credit for anything. She just was always doing good, kind things, and she never, ever took any personal credit for anything.
Would you,
can you think of any other questions you want to ask? And
yeah.
I kind of can't answer right now. I can't.
If you could give it some thought and buttonhole me at church sometime, anything you can give us about Mrs. Youngquist, and do you know anything about the organ? How it was obtained and installed?
We used to have such fun stories about the organ. What was that lady's name? It was a Mrs.
Swanson.
No, before Mr. Swanson. Oh my goodness, he was our wonderful professional. What was her name? Was it Mrs. Snyder? Something like that. Her and Mrs. Youngquist both used to play back in the days of Father Reverend Pike. And did anyone ever tell you that Reverend Pike had this wonderful hymn he used to recite at all of the funerals?
No.
Father, in thy gracious keeping, leave us now your servant sleeping. Oh. And then the bells would toll, and it just sent shivers up and down my spine.
That's something else I want to find out about. Why do we no longer have the chimes and the carillon with the organ?
We don't have? What happened to them?
And they're stored away in the basement, disconnected, just standing there.
For
the gathering
sake, I didn't know that.
Never heard them. I've been here, just going on 8 years, and
Did you have any history about the leather hanging with the beadwork on it hanging there in the church?
No.
See, Mrs. McGann made that. Father King asked her to make something out of leather and beadwork. And so she made that hanging. I think it's turquoise color. And, in fact, I don't even know. You know, we started going up to St. Matthew's in about 1979 or 80. And so I have rarely been in Emmanuel since then.
Oh, you're not a member now?
No.
Oh, you're not there.
After going there from 40 to almost 40 years. No. But I have fond memories.
You do this, would you organize your memories and let's get together sometime within the next few weeks and I will bring my little tape recorder and you just reminisce.
I tell you what, I have a typewriter here at home and I'll try to write you a story.
Good.
I'll try to write you something about the women as I remember them.
The cheerful workers.
The cheerful workers as I remember them.
Wonderful.
And I doubt that I'd have very many more answers to any questions that you might bring up. But after you read the story, if you can think of anything else, then we might get together.
Right. Yeah, would you do that in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'll
get back close to
it.
One question, I've been told that you could tell me about the Winona Club. Somebody thinks the Winona Club was organized in or at Emmanuel Church. Do you know anything about that?
No, I really can't say. The Winona Club was in existence here before I came to Rapid City. And I really can't say. Some of the charter members I do know were women who were active Episcopalian women. They were almost the same nucleus as the cheerful workers.
Or is there any of them available where they could be talked to, questioned?
Not any of them. I've got some, not any of the original ones, because they're all dead, you know, been killed. They're just about all gone. But I'll see what I got.
All right. And if you can think of someone that might be able to tell me if there's any church connection with the Winona Club, I can follow that up. All right. I'll wait a week or two, and if you would get back to me, I would much appreciate it.
Yeah.
I work here at home, and I'm almost always here.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be spending most of my time on this book for the next few weeks.
Uh-huh.
So I'll listen for your call.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The foregoing conversation was with Dolly Dillon, in Rapid City on the 4th of May, 1987, for the Emmanuel Centennial book. The interviewer is Dana Jennings. That is all of the dictation on this side. There's probably some on the other side.
This is Virginia Rule, Martha Swanson.
Yeah.
I've been inquiring about some of the history of the choir and the organ. People tell me you can tell me more about that than anybody else for our centennial history book.
Dana, I think you've been misinformed because I really know very little. Had I known more, I would have answered your letter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the type of thing that I know about is not particularly interesting. They're just little personal things that would have nothing to do with the history of it. Now, we came here in 1941, and we started out as Lutherans, and then Guy March persuaded us to come and visit the Episcopal Church, and we were very happy we did, because we joined it. But Edgar and I were both members of the choir for quite a few years. There were other organists, Ruth Palmerton. Now, Ruth was the organist when we came, and she might be able to give you some information relative to the few years more that she served. Now, she was organist when we came, so she had several years behind her, even before 1941. And I think she might be able to help you.
That Mrs. Leighton Palmerton?
Yes, uh-huh. And now I think in the winter they live at West Hills Village, but in the summer they move up on Rimrock, and it doesn't make any difference, really, which number you call. I think the one Rimrock is probably the safest, because I believe that that's connected with the West Hills Village. So you might talk to her. Now, I was trying to think of somebody else. Ellen Hibbard belonged to the choir for a long time. There were, after Ruth quit, the Swander fellow. Now, let's see, what was his first name? Edward. Edward Swander. Yeah, he was connected with the Swander Bakery. He was organist for a while.
Who can tell me the origin? I understand it came from the Elk Theater.
Well, the organ itself did. And I think that Ruth probably could give you some information on that. It was already installed when we came. During Edgar's time of service, we had a carillon up on the steeple, up on the top of the church.
That was my next question. What happened to the carillon?
Have no idea. They took it down because the neighbors complained.
Speakers are down in the basement.
Well, the carillon should be down there, too.
What a carillon looks like.
Well, it has a keyboard, very much like a piano or an organ, and it's set at right angles to the organ facing the congregation. And I would say probably the whole thing was, maybe 4.5 or 5 feet
I think that's down there, too.
I don't know.
Down there in the damp and the cobwebs.
Well, it could be. Another thing you might do is check and see if somebody might have put it back with the organ pipes. There's a passageway, you know, that goes back that west cross that's put up back there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, didn't you? There's a passageway back there. Edgar used to go back and tune those pipes himself, and many of them were wooden, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Didn't you know that?
It's getting more and more interesting.
And the pipes were wooden, and I have gone back there with Edgar, and he and I both had to put on overalls to go back in there. It was so dusty and dirty, but every once in a while, dirt would get in one of those pipes, and then it would keep playing. So, in lieu of the fact that it was between visits from the organ tuner, he'd go back there, and I went back there with him several times.
A lot of spiders and cobwebs a bit.
Well, I think you'll find a few back there, but there's a door there, and it's right at the west end of the church, right by the sanctuary there, you know, where the cross hangs. And you might be interested sometime. Get some old clothes on and open that door. You might find some interesting things in there. There's some candelabra back there, I know, that stand on the floor. And but I haven't been back in there for years and years and years. And
you've given me some good leads to follow up.
Well, that might help you, Dana. As I said, I personally have very little to add to the thing, but I can maybe give you a few hints on where to go for help.
Yeah. Now, your husband's name was Edgar?
Edgar L. Swanson.
And he was organist?
He was organist after Edward Swander. And he was organist until Father King came. Now, I can't tell you, I don't remember the date when Edward left. But Edgar took over as organist, and he was there through Father King's first few years. And then Father King wanted him to take on both services, both the Sunday school service and the 11 o'clock service. And Edgar didn't feel that he could handle them both with his work out at school mines, too, you know. So Father King said, well, if he couldn't do it, then he'd have to get somebody else to fill both jobs, which he did. And there was a young woman by the name of Larson who came. And she didn't stay very long. She wasn't happy here and didn't like what she was doing, and so she quit.
Time to move on.
They got, and this fellow Wagner, I don't know whether you know about him or not. He used to be organist down at the Trinity Lutheran Church. He's a very gifted person, but he had a mental problem. And when it came time to come to church on Sunday morning, all of a sudden he'd get very ill. And so Father King would have to call Edgar to come in and pinch hit for him. And finally, that got to the point where he left. And then Edgar took over again. They asked him if he'd please come back, and he said, sure. So he went back again and played for the 11 o'clock service. He never played for the 9 o'clock. And he played organ until the year. It was in February of 1977 that they discovered he had cancer. And, of course, that developed and went very rapidly. And so he had to quit then. And I think from then on, my Ethel Ruthrup could probably cue you in as to what went on next. Now, some of this I'm sure you won't want to print, like the personal bits that I've given you.
Sure.
But that might help you.
Yeah, it tells me where to go for more information.
Yeah, not only that, but I've told you in the order of sequence who the organists were when we came. Now, they did get that organ from the Elks Club, and originally it had no pipes, and it was just an electronic organ, as I understood it. Where the pipes came from, I have no idea, but I think that there are people that could tell you, and I think Ruth Palmerton would be your best bet if you want to go that far back.
I'll give it a try.
That was Mrs. Virginia Swanson, telephone interview on May 4th, 1987. Interviewer is Dana Jennings. This is regarding Emmanuel Episcopal Centennial.
Okay, Dana.
My camera. With a flash gun.
Yeah, well, you'll need a flashlight. There is some light back there from the outside. But you better take a flashlight, too, just
I'll
in case.
All right. Thank you.
Give your good wife my love, will you?
I'll do better than that. I'll give her a hug, too.
Please.
All right.
Bye
now.
Bye.